Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, the prophet delivers a message from the Lord. The days are coming when I will make a new covenant with Israel and Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors whom I brought out of Egypt. That covenant they broke. This time I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. The new covenant, unbreakable, inseparable even. This law is written on your hearts, not handed down like stone tablets. It lives within you, and you live in it, the new covenant. This is what is given to us. This is what is made real for us in Holy Communion. Remember, as Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood for you and for all people. But what does that mean exactly? We have a little portal at our house, a screen through which we can make video calls. It's very easy to use. There are pictures of faces. If you touch a face, it connects you to that person. We keep it in our kids' truly chaotic playroom. It's a miracle it hasn't been shattered yet. And its most frequent user is my 5-year-old son, Augie. It's not uncommon, if I'm working in the kitchen, to hear chatting down the hall, and if I listen a little closer, to realize that he has called someone, his cousins, my sister, or most wonderfully, his grandma. Sometimes I creep to the door and listen in on these totally spontaneous calls that this funny little kid makes. Grandma, I found a frog. Grandma, are you the best cook in the family? Grandma, what are you and Grandpa doing today? Do you think she loves it? She loves it. Compare that scene with another that I'm sure is familiar to all of you. It's his birthday, and he's just blown straight past the card on the outside of the gift, straight through the wrapping paper, and now he's ready to move right on to the next colorfully wrapped package. And I have to slow him down. Whoa. Who is that from? What is it even? Can you go say thank you to Grandma and Grandpa? At which point the child begrudgingly hustles over and puts one arm around her in kind of a sideways hug and says thank you as quickly as he can before returning to where his heart truly desires to be. That is the difference, those two scenes, between a law written on your heart, an internal, natural, inescapable reality, and an external law, something about which you have to be reminded, something that has to be enforced. If the law in this case is love and honor your grandparents, sometimes Augie just lives that out spontaneously and freely. It's written on his heart. He needs no reminder, no guidance. She is his grandma. He is her grandson. And all is right with the world. But sometimes he, like all of us, needs a little nudge, right? He needs the expectations and the boundaries laid out a little more clearly, and he falls in line, and it's fine. It's good. But it's like the difference between someone caring and someone being told to care. In a pinch, you'll take the latter, but there's something deeper and richer and more lovely about that real thing. The gift of Holy Communion, which we will receive today, is that it makes us beneficiaries of this new covenant. It reminds us that the law is written on our very hearts. It confirms for you again and again and again that you simply are God's people, and God simply is your God. But this meal is not beneficial only for you as individuals. It's called Holy Communion, after all. While the promise of grace is very much for you personally, the new covenant binds you together as the community, as the people of God. The people of Corinth, the early church to whom Paul was addressing our scripture passage this morning, they were making a mess out of this. They were making a mess out of the Lord's Supper. They were very much not caring as if the law were written on their hearts, and indeed they were struggling to even act like they cared. Here's the deal. They had combined the Lord's Supper with a regular supper. No problem there, necessarily. That's been tried at many points in church history. It's called a love feast, and it can be a wonderful communal event. But in Corinth, not everyone was invited. So some people gathered ahead of time in the church and had a good old time, eating fine food and drinking plenty of good wine, while other people missed out or were left out. Some ate the fine food and others shuffled in just in time for a sip and a morsel from the altar. This congregation had turned Holy Communion into disunion. And Paul warned them that celebrating the Lord's Supper in this way does more harm than good. Better not even to gather. Better not even to receive the Lord's Supper than to take it like this. I think it's easy, especially for us as Lutherans, to focus on communion's benefits to us as individuals and overlook or forget the benefits and the obligations the meal confers on us as a community. Yes, you personally are given the promise of grace in this meal we're about to receive. You personally are strengthened in your own personal faith. But this meal is also a gift to you, meaning all of you, the body of Christ. That new covenant pulls you into a closer, unbreakable relationship with God. That's true. And it pulls you all closer together as the body of Christ. The new covenant makes it true that God simply is your God, and you simply are God's people. And it also makes it true that you simply are a congregation. That is a real and meaningful relationship. It's hard to see it sometimes. In a very busy modern world and at a very large congregation, the ways that your lives are connected to each other, but even just this morning, walking around the narthex, I have seen countless remarkable examples. People caring for people whose partner is sick or injured. In the front row, I see a young man sitting here with not his grandparents, his friend's grandparents. Have you ever heard of such a thing? That is a real connection that goes beyond the family of origin to the family of faith. The pastor's privilege is that I get to see so many instances like these, in which you, the people of this congregation, are, like my son in his best moments, naturally, instinctively, sometimes even spontaneously, caring for one another. Not because you get a reward for it or paid for it, not because we've told you to do it, but because this law of love and service has been written on your hearts, and you are living in the reality of the new covenant. You belong to God and to each other. Amen.